T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, blah, blah, blah.
Part 2/52.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and we also have Will Schmidt with us today.
Hi.
Hi, Will Schmidt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good to see you.
No accolades? Fine.
Oh, well, he is an awesome...
he's overly accoladed.
Yeah, he's overly accoladed, as you can see in his arms. He's got a wonderful body,
a pleasant personality.
Don't flatter me. And he trains everybody, the who's who of Hollywood he trains.
Okay,
there you go. Okay, so this is part two of a very, apparently, a subject that everybody wanted to weigh in on. Children that are unstable with emotional issues. Yes, yeah. Emotionally unstable children, that's what I meant to say.
And so if you didn't hear part one, if you're listening to this on Terry James Alive maybe or something, go to iTunes, or if you're on Android, go to Stitcher and look for Kick It Naturally and find part one episode, because we talked about a lot of things. We talked about a lot of the physiology that can create some of these issues most commonly. So go back and listen to that. We won't go over all that again in part two because we have so many questions and comments and we kind of want to get to those.
All right. And also, go ahead, if you haven't followed us yet on Facebook, go to Kick It in the Nuts on Facebook and go ahead and join our group or like the page. And then you can post topics there that on top of... I can't talk today.
Well, it's part two.
Yeah, it's part two. It's part two. You know, just listen to part one. Just go to Facebook, like us. You can post questions. We'll answer them. Blah, blah.
Sure.
Okay. All right, so questions, huh?
Yeah, let's jump right into questions.
All right. Let's see. Denise, it's not the children's fault.
I agree, Denise. Thank you. Yeah, you know, we talked a lot about that, you know, parents can... add to the problem. They can create other problems, but a lot of times any problem, no matter what it is, can be magnified by a kid whose brain is not getting fuel like it needs to. So improving physiology and making adjustments in diet can help a brain be more steady and even keeled instead of the spikes and crashes.
Yeah, I mean, if you can look at it like a plant, like a house plant, like if it starts to turn yellow and leaves fall off, like, you don't spank it, right?
I do.
Well, okay. But you normally go, what can I do to help support this plant? You know, and that's a very mature kind of parenting.
You know, what's really great about that analogy is that a lot of people would talk to or sing to the plant, and it may have some benefits, just like all the people that would say, well, you need to teach the kid this, and the kid needs therapy, and all these other things that could have some positive benefit. But hey, you have to water the plant, idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we have to look at with the kids, is that, oh yeah, this kid needs things to grow properly. And when a kid is growing, there's already all of this crazy hormonal stuff going on that allows the kid to all of a sudden be a foot taller. So while all that's going on, that craziness can also affect mood and stability and emotions and all that stuff. So you really have to, it's almost like you have to do more work to keep a kid emotionally stable than you would most adults.
Oh,
so
or plants.
Yeah, or plants. So just remember that the organism that we're talking about needs stuff to function. And when you look at the plant analogy, it's easy to figure out, oh, yeah, it needs stuff. So don't forget that with your kid. The kid needs fuel to function, too.
Cooper from Destin, Florida. Unconditional love.
Singing to the plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Amber Geddon from Clare, Michigan. Okay, I'm emotionally unstable due to the fact that I had a traumatic childhood, abuse followed by the foster system, then adopted. However, I've broken the cycle of abuse with the help of my husband. I'm generally an amazing mom, so can someone tell me why sometimes our daughters exhibit some of the symptoms of PTSD? Can they pick them up from me? And since I just bared my soul, can you three tell me you love me? I'm needy like that.
I love you, Amber.
I love you, too.
Yeah.
Everybody was in on that. You're clear.
We're holding you in a cyber hug right now. Uh-huh.
Let's cover Avery's too with Amber's.
Yes, Ambergeddon, you are loved. Good for you for doing the hard work of breaking the cycle. Change some details and situations, and you have told most anyone else's story. Life can be tough. As an 8-year-old, I was in the same room as my dad when he committed suicide. I did not act out so much. I was more quiet and withdrawn, an only child as well. So emotionally unstable is not always wild and out of control. It can be too calm and controlling. Ooh, those are the scary ones, too.
That's some crazy stuff. It really is. I mean, that's, you know, and what's really great about this is to understand that, you know, someone like Avery can go through something as horrific. I mean, how do you even imagine what that would be like? None of us could even understand anything like that. But, you know, someone can go through something like that and still be okay. Yet someone else could totally have a full meltdown because they dropped a Hot Pocket on the ground or something, you know? So it really is about helping your body get what it needs so that those problems that are a 1 or 2 on the Richter scale don't become 10s. And when someone has the ability for their brain to function where they can rationalize, then things that really are 10s like that can be managed. It doesn't mean that they're going to go away. They're still there. That's something you got to deal with as a person. But we like to see people have the resources to be able to deal with something like that. So let's also talk a little bit about Amber's situation and can you pass that on to kids kind of thing. One thing that's interesting is that we know that Amber was very overly anabolic and had low mineral levels, and that was pointing to a lot of her anxiety issues that she was having, and she's since improved that. And that went along with her, you know, urine pH being overly high, her being overreactive to carbs and sugars, just like a lot of these kids are. But that's not the only issue that causes these spikes and crashes. It just seems to be the most common one. So some of those low mineral traits could have been passed on to your kids for sure, since while you were pregnant with them, maybe there wasn't a lot of resources there. But I don't see, like, actually PTSD, like some post-traumatic stress issue. I don't see that actually being passed through genes in any way or to a kid like that. I think it's more along the lines of what's your kid's diet like? How are they eating like you were before? Have you been able to convert the family over and get them more stable fuel as well?
Yeah. There may be some, like, problem-solving strategies that the kid, like, picks up. Mm-hmm. From the parents. I mean, it's deep, like, how physically we mimic our parents. Like, I remember seeing a picture of my mom and my grandmother, like, they were at some family reunion, and it was a picture of them. They both fell asleep on a hotel bed with a book over their chest, with their legs crossed the same way, and the other arm up on the pillow the same way, and the head turned the same way. Like, identical. Identical. Wow. Sleep patterns, and, like, mm-hmm. and exactly their postures. And I've seen a lot of, I used to work as a posture therapist, and you'd see a lot of, like, patterning where you try to mimic, you know, your role models, and, like, even how you walk and how you talk, let alone, like, how you respond to threats or how you respond to scarcity, you know? So I think there's probably some element of, like, behavioral mimicking that's occurring. But in Amber's ability to transform that in her own case, in looking at fixing her chemistry, fixing her thought patterns, like, that can also be reconditioned and supported by good nutritional work with kids.
Even, like, children and animals sense energy. So even if Amber's doing a good job controlling herself in front of her kids, they may be picking up on, you know, her anxiety or some energy, too, that she's putting off. You know, you just don't know. I mean, uh-huh. It's so complicated.
But it is great with both these guys. Just it's inspiring to see people that deal with really hard things, and they're able to move on and put it behind them and function as a human. You know, I think that's cool.
And like Tony always says, like, it may not cure everything, but if you get your physiology, you know, in all balance, then it definitely helps, you know, instead of being a 10, a problem that's a 10 with you, it can become a 2 or a 3, you know, with the right help of proper nutrition.
Right, it's important for people to understand that nutrition can't fix everything, but it can help you manage some things a little bit better so that you can deal with them.
Carol, I remain horrified by the sheer number of people who believe beating emotionally unstable children is okay. My belief is that for both adults and children, the quality of the food we are eating and feeding kids, and that is being marketed to kids, is so destructive. It is impacting intelligence, mood, and behavior. Yes, they need consistency and limits, but if the parents are so ill from eating crap, how can they consistently parent the kids? Emotional problems can come from environmental causes, like food and toxins in the environment. And if they are biologically present, the environmental issues just acerbate the problem.
Exacerbate
the problem. Acerbate? Oh, God. Exacerbate the problem. As a licensed mental health professional, I have seen a huge increase in anxiety and depression, not to mention bipolar disorder, being diagnosed in both adults and children. Something is very, very wrong. I won't even begin to discuss ADD and ADHD. TC, we need some answers. Help, please. And then Carol continued, and yes, TC, I know that mood disorders and behavior disorders in the adults and children are attracting attention from Big Pharma because there are meds for all those above mentioned conditions, and doctors are brainwashed to write scripts to these, turn the page, conditions. However, when they put an 8-year-old on an antipsychotic, I get the distinct feeling that something is very, very wrong. Unfortunately, I am in the minority.
Yeah, that was a lot of stuff, and she hit on some really great points there, and I do believe that you are in the minority, and I think that's something that we need to fix. Because one thing that she hit on was that, you know, a lot of the environmental toxins and everything that can be a stress on the body. And we've talked in a lot of episodes before about, say, how someone has low resources. Maybe they have low minerals, and their body is having a hard time functioning properly because of that. And then somebody eats sugar or too many carbs, and sugar spike and then crash, and now they have even less stuff. But you take that same person and you add toxins into their body that's causing all this stress and burden on the body on top of that. And now a lot of the body's resources are having to go towards that stress or toxins. So the person ends up with even fewer resources to function as a human being. Say things.
Yeah, and they'll hit the bloodstream harder because there's less sort of like to dilute it. When we see like people that are electrolyte deficient, have like very thin blood and low blood pressure, when they take a supplement, they usually really feel it because there's not much else in there to buffer it. So when someone like is in that case of mineral depletion and nutrient depletion, and you put any sort of little toxin in there, they're going to feel it most likely a lot more than someone whose maybe blood pressure is high and electrolytes are in excess.
Right, and there are a lot of theories and a lot of science that is showing this to be true. Of course, you know, we don't know this for sure, but you know, we haven't done an episode on vaccines or anything yet, and people, if you mention vaccines, they instantly become berserk on one side of it or another. But one thing that I will say is that, you know, there are a lot of ingredients in vaccines that have to be there or the vaccine will spoil and it will go toxic and it would kill the person. So there, it's kind of required for some of the substances to be in there if they want to have any shelf life at all. And a lot of those substances are, you know, heavy metals and other things that cause problems in the body. So, you know, a theory that I kind of buy into is that why do these vaccines cause so many problems for some kids but not others? And it appears that when there's not enough mineral in the system and you put heavy metals in the system, that the body will say, I'm going to hold on to these, because at least I can use it to bounce some signals through. And then those heavy metals end up causing other problems with other signals traveling, and that's where a lot of the problem comes from. But a lot of us are beginning to believe that if you can put minerals into the person who's having a heavy metal issue, because for a long time we believed there was no exit strategy for heavy metals other than bleeding it out or chelating it, some kind of chelation therapy. But it appears now that if you can put minerals in the body, that the body will say, oh, I have what I need, and I can let go of these toxic heavy metals, and some of them can leave the body, and and some of those issues that they're creating can improve. So with this, it kind of goes back to, you know, some of these issues the kids are dealing with are definitely caused by sugar spikes and crashes. Some of them are caused by a lack of minerals, but some of them could also be caused by burdens from toxins or heavy metal toxins. So there's a lot of options for things to go wrong there, but it seems that finding ways to get more nutrient-dense foods into kids seems to help in a lot of cases.
And that goes true on a couple levels. Like, one, when we look at, like, how do you protect people from radioactive iodine, like with the nuclear explosions, like, you give them these iodine pills that fill up the cellular receptor spots for that, so that when they're hit with that toxic load from radioactive iodine, from nuclear explosions, like, then their thyroid wouldn't fail later because their thyroid was protected because those
right.
little receptor sites were already saturated with healthy nutrients. And the same thing happens at gut flora levels, where if you already have a lot of healthy probiotics and the right kind of strains in your gut, they are going to outcompete and situate themselves in the gut to help good nutrients come in and keep bad guys out. So the more you can fortify your child's diet with healthy nutrient-rich foods and keep their digestive system really healthy and saturated with good flora, the less susceptible they're going to be to those kind of problems and toxins.
Right, and one thing to look at is that they throw antibiotics at every little sniffle that anybody has now, and we know that doesn't just kill all the bad bacteria, it kills all your good bacteria too. But nobody's taught that you need to replenish your bacteria if you're going to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, kids can go on little probiotics. You can also make a practice of regularly including fermented food in your diet, and that will give your body a lot of natural probiotics, like sauerkraut or kimchi, mm-hmm. kefir.
Right. So let's talk about a couple of nutrient-rich foods and ways that parents could use to try to get more nutrition into their kid. So in part one, we did talk about bone broth. Do you want to explain why that's so important?
Yeah. Well, bone broth has an abundance of the amino acids that our body is primarily made of, which is severely lacking in our diet now that most of our protein comes from just flesh foods or weird, like vegan plant protein kind of
right,
things,
right.
or even just like whey proteins and egg proteins. Those, pretty much all of those proteins do not have an abundance of the most abundant amino acids in our tissues, like glycine, the most predominant amino acid in collagen. And that's really, really important that we have an abundance of that, not just because we need it for the cellular structure, but for all sorts of like hormonal implications and anti-carcinogenic effects, which really affect your mood and your emotional stability also as your immunity overall.
Right, right. So bone broth can be very effective for that, and it's really easy to make. And I make it, and I put it in ice cubes, so then I keep it in the freezer. And then when I make a shake, I'll just throw a couple of those ice cubes in the shake, and it doesn't taste like bone broth. And that's a good way to sneak it in to a kid and give him that extra nutrition. We can do the same thing with organ meats because they're very nutrient dense. You can take a little bit of like chicken liver, like we talked about in that hypoglycemia episode. And you just chop it up real tiny and you mix it into a stir fry and the kid's never going to know it's there. Not that you're being deceitful, but I mean, you're trying to get some nutrition in a kid that's having a hard time. Get over it.
Yeah, bone broth, like we talked about two episodes ago, has a lot of those great natural cofactors and everything else that can help you process other proteins. But if you're like an overwhelmed mom and don't have time to make bone broth, there's some places, like in LA, I know a few people that make and sell bone broth commercially, but you can also supplement the diet with collagen or gelatin.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Jell-O snacks.
Right.
A kid doesn't like home, you can make a homemade Jell-O snack. You can use like...
That doesn't mean using Jell-O brand.
No, they have this weird... So you don't want to use like the regular like Jell-O snacks from whatever company, Jell-O, Bill Cosby, that thing. You can get really great high quality gelatin and collagen from GreatLakesGelatin.com. All it's like grass or pasture raised from Brazil. And you can learn how to make your own little Jell-O from that or add a little bit of collagen into their shakes or into ice creams or yogurt snacks that you make for them. Super simple. You can't even taste it with the
right.
collagens in there. And it's a great way to make that easy and convenient without having to go into the butcher and get special bones and make this bone broth soup, which is an incredible thing to do if you're willing to put in the effort.
Right, right. And you just take a crock pot. I mean, it takes me 5 minutes to dump all the ingredients in, and I let it cook for a day or two. And then I just filter it out, and I make the ice cubes. It's not a huge thing, but even if that is problematic for you.
Bone broth popsicles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are other options like, you know, gelatin and stuff like that. So those are a few of the really easy ones to just get some more really nutrient-dense foods. But another step that might be the initial step for you is to just start giving the kid more real food, because I think a lot of people don't do that. Everything's a TV
McDonald's
dinner,
or drive-through. A lot of it is McDonald's or fast food driving through for the kids. You
I just love Lunchables.
Yeah, Lunchables,
that's
all
the
that.
Craziest food.
Little Debbie snacks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Brandon. Parents that fail at parenting. End of story. Troy, parenting. I know it's hard to believe, but it might be the crappy parents causing the problem. But don't worry, your kid is a winner either way. Jeanette, imagine being doped up on heavy doses of immunizations and flu shots. What would you feel like with nothing but poison running through your system? Both parents working is contributing. Sitting your children in front of a TV, no exercising, not eating right. There's no quick fixes. Just changing your ways permanently as a parent or a caregiver.
You know, one thing to think about too, and you know, you don't want me to start with flu shots for sure. That's not a topic you want to hear me talk about. But you know, when we talk about vaccinations and stuff like that, and parents have to have this decision of, am I going to vaccinate? Am I not? What are the benefits? What are the downsides? All that kind of stuff. Even if you are a parent that feels that it's necessary to do that, one thing you could do is to actually look at the list that they offer and really spread them out as far as you possibly can so that the kid's not getting all this poison at once. But a lot of the vaccinations that they offer are for these stupid, ridiculous things where the worst symptom that you're going to have if you catch that is a couple days of diarrhea. So they're selling you another vaccination with all this poison, more toxic load for the kid so that he can avoid a couple days of diarrhea.
I don't know how these people sleep at night. I mean, really, sometimes.
They have drugs
on
that.
On a money bed?
Yeah, money bed. Oh, okay, maybe.
Sleeping pills.
Okay. Sign me up.
Yeah, so just look at, you know, what's important. You know, like a couple of days of diarrhea is going to happen to a kid in some days, like, anyway. So just get over that. And if you feel it's important to vaccinate, it really at least remove the ones that are not so crucial. Maybe we'll have to do another episode and get more into vaccinations. We won't have time for that here. But flu shots are dumb. Okay, next question.
Richard, no structure or discipline in their lives.
Yeah, and why wouldn't that help? I mean, certainly if you can supply, you know, structure and discipline, I think that's going to help a kid. But
sleep, having structured sleep, like when they go to bed a set time instead of letting them stay up all night long.
Mm-hmm.
James, put them in sports. What happened to PE in schools? The parents are causing 95% of the trouble. I can't read today. It's my low minerals.
That was a jump from PE to blaming parents.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm hungry. My car's on fire.
Your parents suck.
What?
Don from Staten Island, New York. It takes patience. You have to try to limit negative behavior and give boundaries. Kids can't help themselves. Parents have to help them adapt.
That's got to be true. I mean, I think there has to be a way to learn how to communicate with a kid, because you see so many parents that they don't have that ability. You know, they're just not emotionally open enough, and they're just closed off, and you just hear about that. And I think that's important. And I think things like that become even more important if a kid is emotionally unstable, you know, while you're trying to help that kid improve its physiology and nutrition level and all things so that it can function better, the kid, that is, you know, there has to be actual parenting that takes place for that to happen, too. No idea what I'm talking about there.
Mm-hmm. Abiraj, Nepal. Children subconsciously pick these up. One solution might be teaching common sense of right and wrong and exposing to wider school of kids, parenting, social environment. Parents put themselves... Wait, this is written really weird. Parents put themselves should develop sound common sense and be persuasive in communicating their thought process. Kids are here for 5+ years. Parents, 20+ years. It is never a kid's fault.
That was a lot of stuff that makes me agree that it's not the kid's fault.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But I agree with that.
Agreed.
I think the kid gets a pass.
Yeah. Anjum. I have a son with autism, and I can't express what I do for him every single minute. It's not a complaint, but true or exact parenting is really hard to explain.
Yeah, and with the autism, you know, I think parenting is hard enough, and then I don't even know how some of these parents do it with the autistic kids. It can be such a full-time job, and some of them are so severe that they have to try to keep the kid from bashing his head against the wall or doing some kind of horrific thing, and it's a full-time job just to keep them safe. So major kudos to parents that can make that happen. But understand that we are hearing from a lot of parents with autistic kids that are seeing improvements when they help find ways to get more actual nutrition into their kid and allow that brain to start functioning a little bit. I kind of feel like from the stories that I've heard that, you know, parents tell me and experts say that, you know, it's with an autistic kid, it's like they're in there and they just get a little frustrated because they can't communicate what they're trying to communicate. And when you can start to remove some of the burden that may be causing problems and start to get them more nutrition, it seems like they can have that ability a little bit more. And I think even if you could help a kid a little bit more, it's worth doing this effort of, you know, finding ways to get real nutrients into the kid. If people are succeeding doing it, why not do it?
Joshua from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Ban them from playing any video game online.
I think it was Miss Pac-Man that screwed me up. Mm-hmm. He's probably right.
Donkey Kong, mm-hmm. Me. Terry from Bonners Ferry, Idaho. It takes a village to raise a child. Yes, it does. Kika, lots of love, structure, and good talks. Okay, Martine. Speaking as a genuinely emotionally unstable person from an early childhood, my parents have done a lot to try and help me. They are stable, reasonable diet as a child, was sent to therapy, had discipline, physical and emotional, but the truth is the only thing that has ever assisted me was finding something I was passionate about and being permitted to participate. If I'm going to swing, it will happen. There is no stopping it. I have, however, come to recognize the cognitive thought process of a swing and can leave a situation before it happens in front of people. Doesn't stop the swing, but lets me suppress it until I can be alone and vent it out.
I like a couple things here. The one thing I want to hit on is that he said, you know, a reasonable diet as a kid. And that is not always as accurate as people think, because keep in mind that a person does not have to eat at the drive-through or ding-dongs and sugar cookies and all this kind of stuff to have a problem. If a person is having sugar crashes and spikes and crashes, that can come from eating whole grain bread.
And fruit and
you know, potatoes and all these things that a lot of people will consider a very healthy diet. So just because those foods are considered healthy by some and for some, that doesn't mean that they're the right food for everybody. You know, if you've listened to us say anything ever, you've heard us say that there is no diet that is right for every person.
I like also what he said about the finding something he was passionate about.
Right.
So I think a lot of like just the school structure is so benign. Like my best friend in undergrad and like with the freshman sophomore year in undergrad college, he was diagnosed with ADHD because he was just doing the general ed classes at a JC. And then when he got to like the 4-year school to finish up, he got to study all the classes in his major, and he had no attention problems.
Right.
Because it was all the stuff
he was magically healed.
Yeah, well, it's just
maybe it was because the mascot at BYU was better than at the community college.
Yeah, just the level of interest that he had and the passion and the quality of the school system and the private university as opposed to where he was before the community college just, and all of a sudden he was cured.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I've seen a lot with adults that are dealing with these type of emotional instability issues is that for many of them, if they are focused on something, then they can be a lot happier, a lot more fulfilled, a lot fewer emotional outbreaks. And it seems to be an issue of a lot of the emotions come from just the brain not being able to focus on the problems at hand, and that frustration creates emotional frustration. But if they have something that they're focused on and that they're excited about and that they can make be their main focus, then it kind of relieves that tension of trying to figure out where the focus should be. So maybe that could be beneficial with some kids as well. Find something that they really enjoy doing while you're working on improving the nutrition so that all of those tasks in their brain are easier for them to handle. It might bring some faster improvement that way.
Angela, everyone's saying give them drugs. That's the easy way out and will screw kids up in the long run with health issues. What is wrong with me? It's called just being a parent, being there. Respond with love in everything. Discipline strategically instead of emotionally. Even when they are in trouble deep, make sure they know that they are loved. Listen, support, encourage, shower them in love. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Parents build up their kids. Unstable emotions are completely normal at that age. It's all about helping to shape them into the person they are behind the fog of hormones.
See, that's good. We like people like Angela because we never would have come up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not that emotionally intact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of good ideas in there, and I think that especially the discipline strategically instead of emotionally, because I can just imagine walking in the room and seeing what a kid did to my model airplane or something that I just finished building. I don't know.
Nerd.
But in any case, yeah, I can see it, you know, discipline.
Your puzzle that you put together.
Right, I just finished that puzzle. You're grounded for 7 years. So I like that idea of, okay.
It's funny how I always got grounded right before summer for the whole 3 months. And I was like, oh, it's convenient because you need a babysitter. Okay. All right, Sydney, yes, it's a little thing called disabling. Good, moving on.
I don't understand how that works.
Uh-huh. Angus, what about emotionally stable leaders and adults? Look at the world and system. Maybe our kids aren't the ones who are emotionally unstable.
Yeah, that's
big
hard
one
to argue
too.
With.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's a big one, I think.
Right, yeah, I think it's hard to argue with that.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, London, UK, show them how to endure the temptation to be angry. I don't get that one, really.
Well, it's easy for, you know, the kid takes his ball and he's going to be real mad at the kid. So he's saying maybe, you know, teach kids that being mad at someone is not the solution to everything. And maybe that will reduce the amount of times they flip out. I think that's a solid lesson. But I also think that some kids, if they don't have fuel, are going to flip out at everything.
Yeah. You just teach them more effective strategies like, don't get angry, get even.
Ah.
Right, see, now we're teaching
stuff.
Now you're
happy.
Exactly. Success is the best revenge. Okay, let's see here. Carol, they are being fed total crap, which is impacting their behavior. Have you looked at the ingredients in food that is marketed to kids? It's a miracle they are alive. Horrifying that so many of you think beating them is the answer. It is not.
Yeah, and it is pretty crazy when you look at ingredients on some of the junk food. You don't know what any of that stuff is.
Yeah, did you hear about that Facebook post? Some girl in like junior high or high school took a picture of her school lunch that was part of like Michelle Obama's like healthy lunch program, and it was just it was so gross. Like what? I don't even know what it was made of, but it went viral because people were like, oh my God, that's atrocious. And this was like Michelle Obama's healthy meal plan for kids.
Right, right.
That was Michelle Obama's healthy meal plan? Oh, weird. Okay. Okay, I don't know if this is Tone or Tony. Orange, California. A firm hand and positive reinforcement. Remember, parents, kids will never suffer from firm parameters.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, parameters are good. Mm-hmm. You can't leave this yard. You can put them on a harness, too.
That's right. Good. Yeah. Kid on a Leash, I think, was one of the audiobooks that I saw on Audible.
Oh, cool. Amanda from Stanfield, Arizona. Stop telling them how special they are. Unique, yes. Special, no. Say no to them. Make them have consequences for their actions, not threats. Stop being their friend. You're supposed to be an adult. Stop acting like children. That part of your life ended when you had your little bundle of joy. Deal with it.
Well, whoa. Amanda just yelled at her.
Yeah. Yeah, she said it.
Yeah, she had some good points there.
You know, there are... I'm trying to remember the name of this book. I was listening to a podcast between Tony Robbins, motivational speaker, mm-hmm. self-improvement. He hates being called a motivational speaker. and Tim Ferriss.
Do you train him? Do you know him personally?
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
But he mentioned, like, Tim Ferriss asked Tony, like, what books would you recommend for people? And there was one book that was actually sort of on parenting that had, like, very much, like, Tony's very much into, like, the importance of wording things and the way you phrase mm-hmm. things. And he, if you listen to that podcast, it's on Tim Ferriss's podcast. It's called The Tim Ferriss Show, where he interviews Tony Robbins. He mentions the name of that book and talks about linguistic strategies to use with kids.
That's very interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I do like that whole unique, not special, because when you think you're special, you think that the world's just going to bow down to you. But if you think you're unique, you can accept your differences and know that you're different than from everybody, but you don't have special treatment.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Alexandra, the answer is listen to what your child needs. Listen to their cries and let them cry and get out all of their emotions. Parents are too quick to stop emotions. They usually aren't crying, yelling, screaming about what is really wrong. They are scared of these big emotions and sometimes just need to be held and told it's okay to be angry and cry and let it out. Also, letting a child know that you know they are angry, upset, tired, hurt, etc. can diffuse the situation immediately because they've been heard. That's all they want, need sometimes.
I like that.
That's good.
Yeah, so to recap, none of us have kids and have a clue if any of this is right.
But
yeah,
my kids would be special, actually.
Right, they would. No, but I like us sharing all these points of views from everybody because they may have been some good tips. We just can't confirm if they are. But we can confirm that making nutritional changes can really turn a person, adult or child, around amazingly. So let's review, first of all, things that a parent might want to look at if they're having a kid that's having too many emotional episodes.
Yeah. Well, we talked largely about, I think, the most important things in previous week's episode when we looked at, like, trying to get their body, their blood sugar and electrolyte levels balanced, where they're not eating crazy carbohydrate processed rich foods, or even an overly carbohydrate rich from natural food sources, getting their diet to be more based on fats and proteins and less on sugars and processed foods will help their brain function right, and giving their blood sugar stability and electrolytes more stability. That's probably the most important thing they need to,
right,
to
see what's going on there. And if minerals and nutrients and things like that do need to be lifted, the first thing to look at is getting more fats in the diet. And you can do that with things like butter and coconut oil and even MCT oil that could go in shakes and has no flavor or anything. That could be a really great way to get some fats into the system that are very needed and can supply the body with fuel and the brain even with fuel. So that's important, is getting more fats in, but also more minerals and nutrient-dense foods. And more minerals could come in the form of sea salt, and using plenty of sea salt to food. Even mineral drops could be beneficial. And then nutrient-rich foods like bone broth, gelatin, beef gelatin is great, and organ meats, mm-hmm. like livers, kidneys, stuff like that.
And there's also some gentle things you can do to help support their nutrition that can really make a big difference. Like, I remember this one mother's daughter wouldn't go to the bathroom for like 3-4 days sometimes, and we needed to do things to help get her digestion working better. So she started using BeetFlow and some enzymes, and she might have even used a small amount of hydrochloric acid apple cider vinegar.
I would be freaked out to use that with kids. Yeah. They scare me.
Yeah, but I think she did.
And but apple cider vinegar apple can cider be great, yeah. And even having the kid eat a pickle can help acidify the food. So, because the goal is for to help the kid break down the food better so they can pull more nutrients out of the food that they're eating.
Mm-hmm. Or vitamin C is ascorbic acid. Parents mm-hmm. feed kids all the time. It's vitamin C. It's all innocent, right? But it totally made a big difference, because if you do try to shift them to like, oh, Tony and Will said don't feed them carbs, just feed them a lot of fat, and their digestion isn't working that well, the kid might get really gassy and bloated and nauseous and get diarrhea and tired. So you want to go take yourself through our free 4-week course on correcting digestive issues, so you can learn some tips of things that might be going on in their system and learn how to support them.
Yeah, but you want to understand that if a person can only process carbs and you take away all their carbs, you're going to kind of leave them wrecked. So mm-hmm. that doesn't work. But it is still easy to reduce the amount of sugar and junk and high carb foods and put in more low and medium carb foods like sweet potatoes and yams and stuff like that, butternut squash, mm-hmm. things like that, that won't give that sugar spike such a huge spike and then such a huge crash that follows.
Oh, I was just going to say, I liked what Will said about, like, take yourself through the program first, because, like, even on planes, they say, you know, put your own oxygen mask on before you help your kid, because you're not going to really know anything about imbalances or whatever until you start testing your own self and learn things.
A lot of people could be thinking, well, I'm like that too, mm-hmm. so that's why my kid is like that. But the reality is, if you looked at your physiology, you may see that you're completely hypoglycemic mm-hmm. and you have no resources, and that's why you have those emotional episodes. So just know that you can improve these issues, and improving them with yourself would be a great way for you to understand how the body really works, and that would really help you improve situations with your kids too.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
I like how her voice changes a little bit when she does
it
that.
It does. It becomes more professional.
It sounded like it was added in.
Right. It sounds like we just added that in, even though.
That was me. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own body chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. You can also head on over to Will's page, mybodyandknowledge.net, and he's got a lot of great advice on there too and tips as well.
So thanks. Cool. Good luck. Thanks. Let us know how it goes.
Bye-bye.